Welcome to the Latchkey Sibs. This is the podcast that challenges three siblings to take a look at our childhood movie cabinet and one film at a time, criticize or defend the viewing choices we made as kids. I am your host and the youngest, Gray.
I'm Allegra, and I was born like about 2 years before Gray.
And I'm Holland. I'm the oldest. And what are you trying to be, an Irish R&B singer?
I cannot wait to get into this. This is going to be one of those movies where we're not going to constantly talk about other movies. unless it's like firmly in the Apatow universe, I have a feeling. So each week, one of us has to present a movie to be critiqued while the other two score it based on five categories. Each week's score will be added up, and at the end of the season, the sibling with the most points wins, while the loser will be forced to do a punishment. This week, I am defending. I have gone this whole season thus far being able to choose the movies I want to watch. if you've looked at our Spotify list and you're like, bad movie, oh, pretty good movie, those are mine. And that streak continues on today because we are watching Superbad. Unbelievable. The finale of our April Fool's themed month, right?
Yeah.
This is the last one?
Yep.
Yeah. And we will get into what next month's theme is at the end of the pod. So stick around and you'll figure out what we're doing.
Yeah, so will I.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing all right. This was an interesting watch for me. I'm excited
to get
into it.
Yeah, it was like, I'm excited to get into it too. It was like equal parts nostalgia and also like, oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. It was very 2007.
Extremely 2007.
Yes, in a many
good
ways.
Good and bad ways.
Yeah, totally. Once again, very grateful we don't have a appropriate for children category. That really makes things easier for me. I'm honestly really like just going into like the scores. I am really banking on nostalgia, sit through, and can I follow the foolishness? Those are the three because it's like, or sorry. Nostalgia, LOL factor, and can I follow the foolishness?
Okay.
I think those are going to be the strongest. Hold up, not so much. Sit through ability, I think it's really going to depend. But like, I feel like this movie is undeniably nostalgic.
Yeah.
Undeniably funny and undeniably like logical the whole way through. Like I see where people get to each point from one to the next. In the premise of this universe.
It is a goofy universe. We have to, like, the McLovin.
Yeah.
The McLovin
of it all.
Should really hit home how goof troop this universe is.
Well, I will challenge you on that as we get into it. I will just, you know, start out by getting a little summary for the movie for our audience. Hi, Carly, Michael, Mom, and the four others that sometimes listen. We're watching Superbad. Superbad is a movie, and
sure,
okay,
is.
Here, sorry, I was buying time. Seth and Evan are best friends, inseparable, navigating the last weeks of high school. Usually shunned by the popular kids, Seth and Evan luck into an invitation to a party and spend a long day with the help of their nerdy friend Fogel trying to score enough alcohol to lubricate the party and inebriate two girls, Jules and Becca, so they can kickstart their sex lives and go off to college with a summer full of experience and new skills. Their quest is complicated by Fogel's falling in with two inept cops who both slow and assist the plan. If they do get the liquor to the party, what then? Is sex the only rite of passage at hand?
Yeah, this...
Well written, Jay Haley at Hotmail. I feel like I've seen a few of your summaries before, and they're always fairly succinct. We get a couple ends of the spectrum of the IMDb regulars, and I will just take my hat off to Jay Haley.
Jay Haley's dependable. This really is the super bad of our generation, I would say.
Super bad or the bad of our generation.
Sorry, the American Pie. You know, Holland, I think
that
I
on
agree.
A fucking poster,
sorry,
man.
The American Pie.
The American Pie.
I know it might be controversial, but I think I'm going to stand with Holland's statement
that's
on that.
Super bad, the super bad of our generation.
No, it's, I meant the American Pie of our generation.
It is, I was thinking the same. It is very American Pie.
Totally, yeah. Oh, hello, little boy. That's a cat, by the way, audience.
You're not talking to me?
Unless I edit it out.
Yeah, I was actually talking to Allegra.
Hello, little boy.
So this movie...
yeah.
This movie came out in August 17th, 2007. So Holland was 15, Allegra was 12, and I was 10. I definitely did not see this in theaters.
Neither did I.
Oh, none of us saw it in theaters.
It was rated R, and I was 15.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, and you were a good kid.
It came out, like, the beginning of my sophomore year. I don't think I was sneaking into all rated R movies quite yet.
Yeah, that makes sense. Honestly, like, when it came out, like, this was before I was even in the... I wasn't in middle school yet.
Yeah, you were.
So
in
I was like,
school.
I was in elementary school. So this was like so removed from my radar when it was like out that I don't think I saw it until I want to say eighth grade, which in my opinion might be like the perfect time
to watch this movie. Love this fucking movie.
Yeah, I saw it at like a friend's house. At like, you know, we were like spending the night, like a sleepover kind of deal with like five of us, and we watched this movie. So like, it does hold a very high regard for me.
Yeah, the first time I wrote it a little bit in my pre-watch notes, but the first time I saw it was, so it would have had to have been like the following spring. So I didn't see it till like 2008, and it was at a sleepover that like my JV soccer team had, and... which was a whole fucking nightmare of a sleepover. But that's a different story. But, yeah, the first time I saw it was also at a sleepover.
I saw this movie. This is also most of my pre-watch notes. But I saw it way late. Like, I think I might have been in college by the time I actually got around to seeing this movie.
Oh, wow. Wow. I feel like this was, like, one of those movies that was on TV all the time, too.
Yes, but I feel like I just never ended up catching it for whatever reason. And I remember and I'm just going into my pre-watch notes. I remember being kind of like, I started feeling very FOMO at a certain point. Because eventually everyone did start seeing it. And I remember being vaguely aware of everyone making McLovin references, but not understanding what it meant. And being like, what the fuck? Why can't I fucking, like, whoa? I don't know.
Interesting.
So I eventually just really had to be very deliberate to watch this movie.
This was probably the first movie in the Apatow universe that I saw. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw this before I saw Knocked Up.
I genuinely can't
remember. It's funny you say that. I was actually just thinking, I'm pretty sure I saw Pineapple Express before I saw this movie.
Interesting.
I think also same.
Wow.
But it was in close succession to each other, but I'm pretty sure my first Apatow movie was Pineapple Express, which came out a year after this.
I think I was in
sixth grade when that movie came out, so it was just like immediately more on my radar, and I think I watched it in like seventh and then watched this in eighth.
I think the first Apatow movie I ever saw was Funny People. because I saw that in theaters.
Wow.
Oh, wow. What a chase setter.
And then we saw, we owned 40-Year-Old Virgin on DVD.
Oh, maybe that was actually the first one I saw then.
I remember seeing, I can't remember. I saw This Is 40 before seeing Knocked Up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the wrong order.
I know. I saw Trainwreck in theaters. I don't know. I got weird shit happening with my Apatow verse.
Interesting.
The Apatow. The Repatow?
What?
I'm trying to think about the Grace and Apatow universe.
I'm following you. Like, I know what you're trying to say.
Repatow?
The Repatow.
His Repatow. Yeah.
You're trying, yeah.
He was an executive producer on Heavyweights. So that's the first repertoire that I saw.
Okay.
Or you could say the Apatow.
Apatow. I like Apatow better. Yeah.
The last.
Apatow.
Apatow, The Last Airbender. That's what I meant to say.
He was a producer on Anchorman.
Mom hasn't texted me yet, but I do have a text from Dad that just came in. He says, it has its good moments. Loved McLovin. Didn't like the menstruation segment.
You and me both.
Kinda weird ending. Liked Bill Hader as the cop.
I'm honestly surprised Dad didn't enjoy this more. Just knowing his kind of like
humor.
His theme of humor, and then also the fact that like he does have such a high regard for movies like American Pie.
I mean,
well, he is biased in the American Pie realm.
I will say that
is
Dad,
true.
I feel like Dad is very hot and cold when it comes to gross out humor.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes Dad is on it. Like, Dad loved Borat.
Yeah, sometimes he could be such a fucking nun. And I'm like, where is this coming
There's
from?
There's like a logic that I just don't understand yet.
Yeah.
But what was I going to... Wait, so no exclamation points in Dad's text?
No, they were all... Every sentence ended in a period.
Yeah, so...
Which is ironic because he did not like the menstruation segment.
I mean, that's the only...
Which I agree with.
Nice.
That's the only other thing I said. I vaguely remember people referring to McLovin and being pissed I didn't understand the reference. Eventually saw it and loved it, although the period scene grossed me out. And as we were leading up to the scene in the movie, I was like...
I guess I can dive into my, I guess we're just doing pre-watch notes.
Yeah.
Mine are the most 2007 movie ever. Pretty sure the first time I watched this was at a sleepover for my JV soccer team. Traumatic experience, but not because of Superbad. Michael, Sarah, and Jonah Hill are almost graduating high school and want to have one wild night before they go off to college. Unbeknownst to Jonah, it will be two different colleges. I, like, remembered the lie wrong.
Mm.
I am McLovin.
You're McLovin, Holland? Oh, tag yourself. Unfortunately, I think I am...
McLovin?
No. Worse. I am Seth.
Oh, no. I think
how
I'm
are
probably,
you, Seth?
Yeah, how are you,
I was
Seth?
Just saying,
are you
like,
really that fucking annoying and misogynistic and horrible and someone who I hate?
No, I just felt like if High School Allegra was closest to personality of any of these three, I think it would have been Seth because I was a little fledgling edgelord. A fledgelord, if you will. And so constantly saying inappropriate jokes that like I didn't understand how like offensive they might be to other people, swearing constantly.
But this is also kind of McLovin. Like, McLovin also says shit he doesn't really understand.
It's true.
In a more naive way, whereas I feel like Seth is doing it to get a reaction out of people because he's insecure and, like,
yes,
doesn't know how to process his emotions.
Yes.
But I feel like McLovin is more like, I'm just, like, this is just, like, what people say.
Yeah, Allegra, no. I'm sorry.
Or were
you
more
are,
intentional?
No,
you
I think I'm still very
Fogel.
Okay, okay.
Wait, no, Grace saying I'm still Fogel?
I think you're still Fogel.
Yeah, I think you're more Fogel-y.
I mean, I think that's an improvement. But I will say...
I think out of the three of us, I think Allegra's Fogel, Gray is Seth, and I am Evan. That's what I
Yeah,
decide.
I was going to say, like, I think I was definitely... I think I'm kind of Venn diagram of Seth and Evan because
yeah,
like in my friend group, even in high school, I was definitely still the like a little bit more like less extreme, I guess. Like, less
relatively,
like,
you were more goody-goody.
Yes, yes. Relatively, I was still the kid that was like, I mean, I still do care about school a lot. Like, and I'm good at school. Like, I'm down to, like, you know, party and do things. And, like, I do say wild shit. But, like, I definitely had a lot of friends who were a lot more set that I was like, I need to kind of, like, I'll go along with it because I'm in a social setting and don't want to be ostracized. But other than that, I would be a little more like,
I felt like I had the cowardice of an Evan, but the hashtag too much of Seth.
But Fogel's also too much.
I don't know. He's
chicka chicka what? Fogel, I would not take have that been vest brave off. Enough. You look like Aladdin.
You look like Pinocchio.
I would not have been brave enough to get a fake ID, though.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, my God, dude. So many fucking... So many.
Great. Did you say your pre-watch quotes. Notes yet?
Oh, no. Mine are basically just like... I think I've seen this movie a dozen times. In my opinion, it's such a good representation of how teens actually view the world.
Yeah, for better and like, for worse.
For better or for worse, like, in all lenses. Like, I even think, like, how the girls are, to an extent. I'm like, yeah, like, I knew girls like Jules. And I knew girls like Becca. Where it's like, yeah, once she gets drunk, then she's gonna be like, eh. This is how it's supposed to happen because I don't know social norms yet because I'm 16 or 17 or 18. Anyways, every other line is hilarious. The initial McLovin conversation is so fucking iconic.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it was either between that or Muhammad. Why the fuck would it be between that or Muhammad?
Why don't you just pick a
common name? Muhammad's the most common name in the world, jackass. Read a book. And he's like
who are you? One name? Who are you, Seal? Yeah. Okay.
It's like, yeah, and instead you chose a dumb fucking clown name like McLovin. Oh, man. Seth Rogen and Bill Hader. Bill Hader is like one of my favorite comedic talents, like, yes, of our generation.
Heart,
like,
heart agree.
To me, he is always, always funny. Like, I love him so much.
Always delivering.
The adult party with the period stain, just the whole party was hilarious. I know the period stain thing, like, is weird and gross. I don't know why. It doesn't bother me that much.
It mostly I think it's because, like, if that had happened to me, like, if I had
perioded on
someone, I feel like I would have been mortified, because that's, like, a nightmare. Even, like, because especially when you're a teenager, if it leaks through, if, like, you're having a heavy day and you're not prepared and it does go through your jeans, it's like, oh, no, this is, like, the worst thing to ever happen.
Constantly standing up after a long class and asking your friend to go.
Can you check
my butt to make sure nothing like. So I do think that the first time I ever saw the period scene, I was way more grossed out than I am now.
I think I'm not like grossed out by it. I think it's literally just like PTSD is why I don't enjoy it, because I'm like, oh no, if that happened, I would be mortified.
No, but I
will say this about the movie. I think they did a good job in, like, none of it was, like, shaming the girl.
Yeah, that's true.
It was all, like, directed kind of at, like, the jokes on Seth. And not necessarily, like, who was it? Oh, my God, it was that chick. Like, it was just, like, he became super embarrassed. And then when he comes back out from the basement, she's basically like, fuck you, I hate, like... You know, basically, you embarrassed me by this becoming public. And he's like, I had no control over this
situation.
Meanwhile,
Jimmy, the scary boyfriend, had also a period stain on his leg.
Yeah.
He goes like, we match.
He's like, oh, look, we're brothers or something. Yeah. Okay, wait, I'm not even done with my pre-watch.
I was like, are you done with your pre-watch yet?
No, so the adult party with the period stain and Michael Cera singing These Eyes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Baby Emma Stone. LOL, I remember everything about this movie.
Guys, I cannot tell you how Evan Josh is.
Oh my, I kept thinking, Josh. Like, there are so many, like, mannerisms. I was like, that sounded like Josh. That sounded like Josh.
If Josh was accidentally cornered in a room full of scary people and they demanded him to sing, he would have been like, okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
I love the, like, through line of just throwaway lines that just conclude that Michael Cera looks like Jimmy's brother, like, the whole movie. Yeah. He goes, like, do you know a guy named Jimmy? You look just like his brother.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, Joe Latruglio. Oh my God.
Oh my. Yeah. And before we get too deep, we should do scores.
Nostalgia. I put a 4.
Wow. Really?
I've only seen this movie once.
Wow. I have an 8. I could be argued up, though, maybe.
Yeah, I could probably be. I mean, I gave a lot of this was for the 2007 of it all. Because I watched this, I mean, I guess I watched this movie like 10 years ago. There's definitely,
yeah, it's the thing. I think mine's an 8 because I hadn't seen it in a really long time and there were things that I forgot about.
Sure.
Sit through, I have a 6.
Wow.
Wow. I have a 9.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's maybe partially suffering because there was a time where I had watched this a lot and I was like a little fatigued. And I gotta be honest, the character of Seth was so grating to me upon this rewatch that it really brought down the vibe. And there was a point in the middle of this movie where I like went on a Twitter, like, I veered onto Twitter and got distracted for a little while because I was, like, not super engaged.
Meg
also had, like, a very averse reaction to Seth as well.
Yeah.
And, like, the only thing I can say to just kind of, like, argue is I'm pretty sure that's the point. Like, there was never too many points in the movie that, like, tried to make him redeemable.
Yeah, but like, it still I think he wasn't was kinda an enjoyable experience.
Sure, you know? Sure. But I also would say, like, it's very accurate as to how,
a lot of
17 or 18-year-old boys, especially in 2007, would be. And I honestly liked I liked Michael Cera's character, like, kind of calling him out a couple times, too, on, like,
yeah.
Dude, you need to fucking chill. You need to, like, put things into perspective right now.
I literally have a note that says, it's so irritating to know that this is actually how teenage boys speak to each other. Because I recognize that it is accurate, but it also, it doesn't mean that I enjoyed it, you know?
I actually found Seth less grating and annoying than the first time I ever watched this movie.
Yeah, I have the opposite experience. Lol factor, I have a 7. Again, because Seth irritated me so much that I brought it down to that.
Don't worry, Gray. I have it as an 8 because I'm a normal person.
Oh, my God. I need these to be higher.
The
movie needs them to be higher.
I also got to say, I mean, yeah, this is maybe just not a movie for me anymore because all of the McLovin cop tangents were a little like, okay.
You mean they were the best parts of the movie?
I was like,
you mean they were hilarious?
Yeah, what? Those were like, I think those are always my favorite part of the movie just because Bill Hader and Seth Rogen.
I was like, sometimes I would be like, oh, we're back to fucking Seth and Evan. I miss McLovin.
I have the opposite experience. The opposite experience where I'm like, ugh. I think it's mostly, I also, upon this rewatch, I was like, I love Michael Cera. I love Evan. He is my North Star. I just want to be with him because he is a safe space because he's not
he's a precious boy.
Annoying. He is precious and he's also hilarious.
He's great.
Of his little, like, under the breath, like, comments throughout the entire movie
is so good.
This is like peak Michael. I mean, it's like, this is why Michael Cera got so big because he was so good in this movie. And I just wanted to spend more time with him. So everything else, I was like, ugh, this is annoying.
Early in the movie, after the liquor store, when the bully talks to him, he's like, dude, you totally pussied out back there. And he's like, what do you want me to do? Dive in front of the spit? It got me so good. And it was, again, such a throwaway line. It literally, the scene ended on that line and immediately went to the next scene. And I was like, oh my God, that was so funny.
It honestly was reminding me, I think the first Michael Cera movie I ever saw was Juno. He doesn't have a massive role in that movie at all. He's kind of in the beginning and kind of at the end. But also just
very Michael Cera.
But there's no such thing as small parts, only small actors. Because it just reminds me at the end where she's like, you're so cool and you don't even have to try. And he goes, I actually try really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, hold up.
Okay, anyway. Hold up, I have a 6.
I have a 7.
Honestly, higher than I thought. So
can I follow? I have a 7.
I have a 6.
Okay.
What's the issue with following along with this?
I mean, I think
there are a few strings that are a little.
I wrote this score honestly kind of forgetting our cardinal rule of it fit in the universe, so I think this one can be flexed.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let's talk about some of those lines. Like, what parts could I maybe try and explain back into making sense?
So I'm just gonna sort of remind myself of the plot. This isn't necessarily me saying this is not the stuff, this is the stuff that does not make sense. I'm saying that I'm needing to sort of refresh myself. So it's they get invited to a party and McLovin, says he's getting his fake ID, so they make all these promises to get liquor, and when it's time to deliver, shit gets hairy. So they see a girl they vaguely know, and they run after her to check to see, if her boob reduction
surgery results.
Not a massive, whatever, but I'm just okay, that one was a little, we just needed you out of the way so that the cops could show up and a misunderstanding could happen. Then fucking Seth gets hit by a car one of the two times.
I know, he gets hit by a car twice.
I
think the main thing was just
How flexible is a teenage boy's spine?
Well, yeah, sure, that's part of it. Pretty. Also, Seth's hatred for Becca was, only in the very beginning of the movie. And it was, I think it was all purely set up for the dick story, and then it never came up again.
That's true.
And, That was definitely one thing that I was kind of what was the point of this? Okay, whatever.
I mean, the only part of establishing that, the weirdness and the hatred is just it's why Seth is not
normal.
Seth and Evan, it's why they're not on the same page. It establishes why they're not on the same page for the rest of the movie, because He's the hatred or the weirdness is there's a small thing, but it's mostly the fact that his best friend
scared of growing apart.
Yeah, his best friend likes this girl in a way that's where he does want to spend time with her. And so he's coming up with reasons why he's trying to put her down.
It's his fear of abandonment talking. And that's right. That's the crux of their storyline, is that they're growing up and they're moving on with their lives and they're no longer going to be conjoined at the hip anymore. And the resolution is that it's not that Evan wants to stop being friends, but he does want to grow up. And I felt the resolution was okay, but maybe not entirely satisfying, because I felt Evan had extremely fair points about how codependent this relationship
Seth
was.
I don't think Seth really did a lot of growing in this movie at all.
He did a little.
He didn't do a lot.
I think what happened in this, to my opinion, Evan didn't really need to do much growth. He just needed to kind of
communicate,
voice the things that he might have been feeling unknowingly, and he does. And then his big thing of growth was not going through with what Seth had kind of set out for the night. The opportunity. No, hold on. I'm juxtaposing here. Like him not going through with like hooking up because it was like, oh yeah, that was the part of Seth that like was holding me back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Seth, his growth, I think, was like having to learn the hard way that like he needs to kind of get more onto Evan's page. And so he actually like tries and fails. Pays the consequences kind of by like hitting Jules in the face and passing out on the concrete. And then like the next day when they're like together, he's like, okay, no, yeah, maybe I need to take a page out of Evan's book and be a little bit more like adult about this and like respectful. And like, then they part ways.
As someone who is in kind of a codependent high school relationship and who sort of like thrived once she got away from it, maybe I'm a little too biased towards Evan's feelings here because I was just like, I don't know if this was like, it was like a fine enough resolution. And I agree with everything Gray said in terms of like the lessons that they learned, because the last scene in the mall was definitely a much more mature version of Seth.
Yeah.
But you know, he's still like lingering on that escalator, still lingering on that friend, still like those insecurities are still there. And sure. It is kind of a nice sort of thing saying like, it's not going to be easy, this transition into the next stage of life. But it has to happen one way or another.
Yeah. I mean, I will say like when they finally kind of like let it all out and have the argument before he gets hit by the car the second time, like none of Seth's points are like really that valid.
Yeah.
No.
You know, yeah. Like, I don't think he was like...
It's coming from a really big codependent.
Yeah. Ways. Like, it was he was definitely never, like, really in the right the whole movie. And I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think his selfishness was just, like, permeating throughout. The reason why it was like, I cannot stand him. He's annoying. Which, like, I get it. He's a teenager, yeah. Like...
He's feeling lots of things.
Again, even though it's realistic, doesn't mean that I enjoyed the experience of watching it happen, you know?
Yeah. There were just a few moments with Seth and Evan's story arc that I felt like this is happening because it needs to happen, not because it necessarily...
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he, like, picks him up and takes him from the house, but there actually wasn't a lot of consequences with the cops. Maybe there would have been more consequences with them if had the cops recognized them, and it definitely helped sort of, like... you know, get them drunk talking like, oh my God, you saved my life. So it was like, it was fine, but I don't know if it like was the best way for us to go scene to scene the lot of the time. So that's why I gave it like a 6. It was solid. It made sense. The McLovin stuff, you know, we're not even counting that in the logical realm. It is just pure comedy.
Yeah. I feel like the only thing about the McLovin stuff is like, even though I know it was supposed to be like outlandish and wild and whatever, it was still just like the way that the paths ended up crossing at all times were still just like a little too convenient, even though like I get it, whatever. But like I'm dinging it only slightly in the followability, you know, like it could be so much more if we weren't like following the foolishness. But anyway.
Anyway, I want to just point out one of these little things about this movie that I like forget every time until I'm watching the movie, but it's one of my favorite parts. It is hate watching Emma Stone's blonde friend and her horrible, horrible acting.
She's in like one.
The one that's like just like there when they're talking about. Yes. She's so bad, and it's like so, to me, it's like, it stands out so much.
Oh, I like barely noticed her.
How bad she is at acting compared to like the other people, that I just love it. It's like a toothache. I can't stop touching it.
She's in one scene.
She's in a couple scenes.
Yeah, she's in a couple scenes.
I just felt like my headcanon is that Becca is either theater or band girl. And she knows Evan from, like, band or something.
Mm.
And, like, they're one of those kids who were, like, who clearly had crushes on each other all of high school. and all of their friends are like sick of just watching it.
Yeah, yeah.
They give off that energy so strongly.
They totally do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is a perfect
headcanon. Because like her friends clearly know.
Yes.
Like they're very much like, ooh.
Yes. I want to hear about your guys' like biggest laughs from the movie. Like any that stick out to you. Any that you wrote down where you actually were like, oh my god, that's hilarious. Like, any specific moments.
Let me look through my notes.
I definitely should have taken notes.
Okay, it's mostly just, like, any, like, little Evan aside made me chuckle and cackle. I loved when he was like, yeah, we're going. We're, yeah, full throttle. Charlie's Angels 2. And, like things like that.
Yeah.
Or like,
oh, I love when he was like when he's in the when they're like starting to hook up.
Yeah, I wrote down so
he's
much.
Like, oh, be careful with this jacket. It's actually very special to me. It's vintage.
I
got it at that vintage. Like he just is like trying to have a full conversation in between like all of these where he's just like, oh, yeah, they said that would happen in health class.
Yeah, and he was just like, you're the prettiest girl this side of the Mississippi. And when he was like offering to buy her the like gold Schlager dupe or whatever what it was called in this movie, he's like, yeah, it's my treat, miss. And he's like, get used to it, sister. Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh,
I don't
yeah.
know. All of
oh
just
God.
Like the little Michael Cera-isms just. He was such a little sweetie pie, and I loved him so much.
Little sweetie.
Yeah, I loved when they're in baking class, when he's like, look at them. They're having the time of their lives. And he's like putting flour on the kid's nose
yeah.
and stuff.
They're like little cats.
They're like tying each other's aprons for
yeah.
some pure good.
I did also like when Bill Hader and Seth Rogen were like doing like Yoda voice and he's like, that's Yoda from Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, from Attack of the Clones. I was like, oh god, that was so good.
I'm like, that feels especially resonant to me right now because I've been listening to that. I think I sent you guys a voice note. I've been listening to the podcast Newcomers and the first like series that they watch for the first time is Star Wars, and I just finished like the prequel section of them, and I'm like, and Attack of the Clones was sound like it was a doozy.
I'm gonna watch Attack of the Clones when it comes to theaters.
Phantom Menace.
I mean, I don't care how early it is to watch it. I'm gonna watch it in theaters, and that's gonna be. Anyway.
That's your choice.
Here's another one. Your cock is so smooth. Yours would be two
if you
were
a
man.
Yeah.
I love when they were like the cops. They find oh god McLovin having sex, where he was just like, "It's in."
Makes me, yeah that scene made me uncomfortable because I know he was like 17 in real life at the time, and I know like his mom was on set, and I'm like, I don't know.
His mom was on set
child.
The whole movie. Yeah.
That's not what really made me laugh is when the cops burst in and Bill Hader is so upset, like, McLovin, why did you leave?
Yeah.
Why did you leave us, McLovin? And Seth Green had to hold his back going, He's our friend.
There was even a moment when they had left and they were running away and Bill Hader was driving around. You just hear, McLovin! Why?
Yeah.
I love how much they loved McLovin. Like, I don't think I really registered it the first time I watched it, how deeply they just loved this little nerdy kid that they wanted to impress.
Yeah, they just loved him. They're like,
so genuine.
Yeah, they want to impress him.
It's like, when we were a kid, we didn't think cops were cool, and we just wanted you to think cops were cool. And it's like, wow, only a 17-year-old would find tonight amazing.
Yeah.
And he was just like,
yeah.
So you're going to sign this, and it says that a crackhead stole our car, and we don't know what happened to it. It's like, of course.
Yeah.
Anything.
He's like, I owe you guys my life.
You guys are amazing.
Wait, hold on. Can I just read? I just want to read out. This is a full, like, transcript of the lines when they're interviewing the liquor store cashier. Look, Kay, he assaulted the customer, grabbed the cash, and ran out. So when, say when, height-wise. I'm going to start up here. I'm going to start from the bottom. She's like, whatever 5'10 is, he was 5'10. And then he's ethnically, I mean, did what, was he like us or a woman, a female? Is that what you're asking? No, I would say, was he African? Was he African? No, he was American, and he was like you. He looked just like you. Oh, he was Jewish.
Yeah.
Odd crime for a Jew to commit. Okay, so we have an African Jew wearing a hoodie.
Didn't Bill Hader say, like, usually pretty docile?
Yeah.
African Jew. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just like, I guess she has a nursing exam in the morning.
Exam in the morning. A veterinary exam.
Were they just improving all of their lines? Like the liquor
store. It had to have been mostly improv.
The liquor store interview and like the scene at the bar where Bill Hader's talking about his first wife, who was a literal whore.
Right.
I was like, yeah. This had to be improvised.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if even like the Yoda part was like, I feel like all of their scenes had to have been improvised.
It made me really want to watch Barry.
Oh, man. Hey, Greg, why don't you go piss your pants? That was like 8 years ago, asshole. People don't forget.
That actually reminded me, speaking of people don't forget, there was a girl in my high school who shit her pants at a party.
Oh, like the gun girl?
Who?
Never mind.
I don't know. I wasn't at this party because I wasn't cool enough to go to parties in high school, but everybody heard about it, and her name was Brittany, and then everyone called her Shitney for, like, the rest of high school.
Oh, no. Yeah. I remember there was a kid. Allegra, tell me if I'm wrong, but there was a kid, I thought, in your PE class who pooped his pants running, like, the 5K or something.
I do not remember.
So there was a kid in your grade, at least. At least, this is the rumor. This was the rumor. A kid... He, like, pooped his pants running on the track for whatever reason in PE. And I remember coming into high school and talking about it when we were, like, you know, at that portion of PE. And my friend was like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, that's his little sister. And she, like, totally heard us and, like, looked at us. And we were like, huh. Like, we thought she'd be mad at us. And she was probably like, don't associate me with this. Like, I don't want to carry on the legacy. Yeah, it was all. I remember it was like a whole thing. And we were like, all right, we won't talk about it.
Fucking rough, dude. I mean, hey, man, sometimes running just loosens some stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think that's an uncommon phenomenon for runners.
I hear it's extremely common.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Holland and I, one time, were having a brief stint. This is going to be TMI.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
We were going to the gym a bunch and just running on the treadmill. And I made the mistake of having extremely spicy Korean food the night before. And, like, maybe not even a mile into the run, suddenly I'm fighting for my life at the Blink Fitness.
Yeah, then you're like, I'll go to the bathroom. And then I, like, finished my run 20 minutes later. And I was like, are you okay?
Oh, man.
So things happen, but when you're in high school, people don't forget.
People don't forget. Okay, what I thought was kind of funny is the guy who was like, that was 8 years ago, was Dave Franco.
Yeah.
And yeah. Outside the liquor store, when they think that McLovin's getting arrested, they go, man, this was screwed from Jump Street. And I'm like, oh, you're in 21 Jump Street with Dave Franco years
later. In the future.
In the future. Ha ha.
I love... This is a line that I'll, like, say to friends at work when, like, we're eating lunch and they're like, oh, I have a call. I'm like, what? You're just going to let me sit here and eat dessert alone like I'm fucking Steven Glansberg? Or, like, I'm Steven fucking Glansberg? And the camera pans over to Steven. He's just eating alone, staring in the distance.
I was like, oh, my God, banana cream pudding with Nilla wafers at a high school?
That's, like... gourmet.
Like, what the fuck? Oakridge would never.
Oh my god.
I love when he punches.
It's like a three thing. It's like ball, dick, ball. Yeah, it's like a division sign.
So good.
Also, this movie reminded me how much people said the word pimp in 2007.
Yes! Every
time. Oh my god, yeah, he's pimp. Like, I totally, it was pimp, dude. I offered to pay for her liquor and everything. And he goes, that is pimp. Why did I think of that?
I never went to a high school party. I know you're shocked. You're shocked. Please, you know, get over your...
What about the one that mom always brings up?
That's true. That's true. I technically went to 2 college parties, and as soon as people started smoking weed, I went home.
College?
No, in high school, sorry. High school, I went to 2 parties, and each time, as soon as kids started smoking weed, I went home.
That's surprising, because even in my goody-goody state, I just already fully accepted everybody in NorCal smoked weed, so I was never fizzed by it. But I was like, ooh, alcohol.
I was like so raised on television that every single after school special had me convinced that weed was basically crack and heroin combined.
A gateway drug.
I remember you pulling me aside a couple times when you knew I was smoking. And I was like, Allegra, you sound like such a fucking hall monitor right now.
Like such a fucking narc. I didn't know any better. And then I had like a traumatizing friendship where all I knew was that he was like smoking weed and cigarettes. What I did not know was that he was also doing like ecstasy. And so
at
I was
school?
I thought I was attributing all of his very erratic, weird behaviors to weed because I didn't know any better. That was all he was comfortable telling me that he was doing.
2000s were a weird time, man.
Yeah, it was definitely felt like the Wild West in a lot of ways.
Oh, I also liked how when they were in the convenience store and I think Jonah Hill was like listing all of these other guys that Emma Stone had gone out with, and then he gets to Matt Muir and he's like, and then she dated Matt Muir, who's like the nicest guy ever. When I stare into his eyes, I like get lost and I'm like, okay, Matt Muir sounds dreamy.
Yeah.
Why'd she break up with him?
Matt Muir, he's the nicest fucking guy in the world. Yeah, whatever. I love it. Oh, he's the sweetest guy. Have you ever looked into his eyes? It was like the first time I heard the Beatles.
Right, yes. And I'm like, I want to date Matt Muir. Yeah.
Fogel, I don't understand why you were smoking cigarettes with those cops. Because I fucking rule?
I don't know if this is too niche to our sibling podcast, but I wonder, like, when they called Fogel Faggle,
oh, wow.
It was such a teenage boy thing to do. It reminded me how our cousin calls, like, his brother's name is Alex, and he called him Faglix, which is so creative. I'm only like, the mind of a teenage boy.
That was such a that time period insult. Like, and that's how they're calling things gay all the time. Like, it was very of the time and definitely.
Yeah, when he was like, when he was explaining the dicks thing, and he goes like, it was something like
a man dick.
No, it was the way Evan responded where he was like, I'm really confused. That's so disturbing.
Super gay.
Like, not really know what's going
on. But
right,
I don't
now
think he meant it in a, oh man, that's gay, like in a don't
no,
say,
yeah,
in a Hillary Duff don't say gay way. I think he literally meant like, that's like very homosexual of you to have drawn all those man dicks.
Another thing I think about this movie often every time I like am about to eat a hot dog or like think of a popsicle. I just think of, you know how many foods are shaped like dicks? The best kinds. Oh my god. And he's like, you better get us a shitload of cash or a shitload of alcohol or you're going to fucking prison. And he's like, okay, all right, fine. And he gives it to him and he goes, $7? Are you fucking serious? This isn't enough for anything. What are you, a 6-year-old?
Yeah.
Oh, God, this movie is so funny.
I also did laugh when, in what I for so I totally forgot about all of like the like dream scenario things of when Jonah Hill goes into the grocery store and is thinking about how to steal alcohol. And I did like in how in one of them when he had the old lady buy him alcohol, and he's like, enjoy your remaining years.
Oh, yeah. Enjoy fucking Jules.
Yeah.
Oh my God, when he is like yelling at his home ec teacher, where he's just like, home ec is fucking boring, no offense, but I'm never gonna fucking use this, no offense.
And like, sorry for squaring.
When am I gonna make tiramisu? So, no offense.
And I'm just like, every teacher who has watched this scene, like every is probably like raging about, that's probably exactly what they
But the
to
teacher
deal with.
Was just like, whatever, just go work. Like, she was like, I'm over you.
Like, school is almost fucking over.
Yeah, it is. We have 3 weeks.
Meg pointed out that that's the same woman that Michael Scott goes on the date with that he's like super rude to. It was like Pam's landlord.
I don't remember that. I forgot that David Krumholtz makes a small appearance.
Is he Jimmy?
No, he's Bernard the Elf.
Oh, yeah,
he's
with his gross little ponytail.
With his little ponytail, and he's making Michael Cera sing.
Oh, yeah. And did you guys see Martin Martin Starr? I didn't notice that that was him until, like, the last time I watched this
Martin
movie.
Martin Starr, he's in...
Guilfoyle, he's in Freaks and Geeks as well.
He's in a lot of things.
Who is he in the movie?
He's in a lot of Apatow things.
Was he just like in the singing
room? He was in the coke. He was one of the cokeheads making him sing with the fedora on.
I didn't clock him.
The fedora, long hair, and beard.
Have you guys watched the newest season of Party Down? The revival season?
I've only watched a couple episodes.
It's
I need to
so
finish.
Good.
Yeah, he's yeah.
Awesome. It's so Party fucking down. Good. And Guilfoyle is honestly probably like the best part of the new season.
Emma Stone's one more. Hair.
Oh my God.
Is also some of the most 2007.
Oh, it's so 2007.
The uber straightened with the side bangs. Every girl had that hair in 2007.
What the hell is this? I don't fucking... It's detergent. Yeah, what are you doing with it? I got fucking blood in my pants.
Oh my God. That, like, such a high school
logic thing, honestly,
where I'm like, I just know that not all of that detergent is washed out
no,
of those things.
At the party, you can see the beer.
No,
the
that's
beer
why it's green beer.
Blue, and I'm like, everyone needs to go to the fucking
like,
hospital.
Everyone needs to call poison control.
Yeah, kids, before Tide Pods, we just had the good old-fashioned kind.
I just want to say, in defense of Mark, the, like, sketchy party host, he seemed like he was, like, pretty stressed out by the events that were happening at his party, and he was trying to keep things under control. He knows the guy Francis, Joe Latruglio, is known, first of all, pointed out immediately,
he's
a
like,
creep.
What are you doing here?
Second of all, he invites his weird friends to parties. Like, he just brought two 17-year-olds to a party that he was not invited to. So it's like, he's rightfully annoyed that this guy is here because his friends probably creeped everyone out, killed the vibe, or, like, did something worse. Maybe there's a reason he has a non-violent felony. Then there's this kid that's, like, he's like, why the fuck do you have my detergent? Like, not just some detergent on your lap. You are bringing the whole bottle, two bins of detergent out of my basement. Get the fuck out of my house. Like, that guy probably was having a very stressful
his
night.
Girlfriend
his drunk fucking girlfriend
the,
is like...
The child. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that poor guy. Sure, he might have a violent streak, but he was also just trying to keep his party mellow. And his own girlfriend called the cops on his party.
I liked at the end when they were like, wait, what's your real name again? It's Fogel. Nah, I'm just gonna keep calling you McLovin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, when the cops... So, like, right after that party scene, when the cops are playing lightsaber flashlights, these eyes is playing
that.
In the background in the car. I never caught that before, and I'm like, oh my God, it's actually, like, happening.
Fun movie.
And then, actually, the last quote that I wrote down was, he's a freak.
Yeah.
He's the fastest kid alive.
Kid alive.
The last thing I wrote down was... Boop, boop, boop. And also...
When he's like, I love you, man. I just want to shout it from the rooftops. I love my best friend, Evan. We should go to my roof. You totally should.
Yeah, and also that scene I made me think about how I do not miss sleepovers where you're sleeping on the ground.
No. I was like,
very high school.
I was like, I would only do that if I was that level of drunk.
Yeah, or that age, honestly.
Yeah.
And that scene also did make me think, and I was wondering, Gray, I'm not saying that you had the same kind of, like, codependent, like, I'm not saying you were, like, Jonah Hill in this movie, but it made me wonder if that dynamic at the end was a little bit reminiscent of your friendship with Blake, where, like, he's kind of getting you out of a jam when you are at a party, but you're like, I love you, man.
Oh, like, 100%. Yeah, Blake was... If we haven't talked about it already on this podcast, like, Blake, he didn't drink all throughout high school. He was a competitive MMA fighter, so he was kind of, like, always in and out of training slash, like, having to cut weight and stuff. So he was always, like, very much, like, I don't want to because I don't, you know, don't want to let it get away from me. And so he would all, but he was still a social guy. And so he would want to come to parties. He would just be our DD. And he was like very used to being around drunk people. So it didn't bother him to not be drunk. He still had a good time, but yeah, he would get me out of jams a lot. And then we would always sleep at his house. And it would be like him, me, and usually like one to two other like of like the same friends. And yeah, I would always just be like, I fucking love you, man. Like, you're my best friend. Yeah, you
look like that vibe just kind of reminded me of, like, a Gray and Blake high school dynamic.
Oh, well, that one time I spent the night on Gray's floor on a yoga mat where, like, he and Blake and the girlfriend of the time were all blacked out drunk. Like,
well, that was college.
That was college. But still, like, Blake was in town. Blake had, like, passed out in front of the toilet after throwing up. And Gray had gone and accidentally pissed next to him and probably on him a little bit. But on Gray's, on his way back to bed, he slammed his face into his mini fridge. And Gray and me and Gray's girlfriend were like, holy shit, why do the symptoms of concussion and blackout drunkenness have the same symptoms? Like, we're poking his nose to see if it's broken. And Blake crawls from the bathroom going, I'm coming, Gray! I'm gonna...
Well, what a lovely end to this discussion. And we'll never talk about it again. So let's round out our scores.
I'm going to stick with 4 for nostalgia.
I'll stick with 8.
Okay.
Sit through's going to stay at 6.
Going to stay at a 9.
Law factor 7.
Holland, that's crazy. Like, Gray, genuinely.
I even wrote down, wow, just got distracted by Coachella 80s because I went on Twitter for like 20 minutes because I like needed a break.
80s are at Coachella?
Yeah, do you want to see a photo that I saved as proof of why I got distracted?
For those listening at home, it's a shirtless K-pop boy. Two shirtless K-pop
boys. It was very distracting.
Lol factor.
I'm honestly moving up to a 9 because the more jokes you told, the more I remember just how
I'll
much
move
I was
mine up to an
movie.
8.
Wasn't yours already an 8?
Mine was a 7 before.
Did not smoke weed, but I really do think that, like, such a good movie to smoke. You obviously didn't need
I
to
did,
smoke
and
weed.
I was still kind of like, meh. Can I follow? I moved up to an 8.
I moved up to a 7.
And does it hold up? I'm going to keep out a 6.
I'm actually going to move mine up to an 8. Because, like, yeah, they call each other... Honestly, they don't even call each other faggot. They call Fogel faggle. And I don't know. I hang out with a lot of gay people now, and the word has lost...
Now?
I mean, always. I hang out with a lot of gay people always, and this word has kind of lost a lot of its bite, given how often my friends are calling each other the other F word. But I also know...
Now we're censoring.
Well, it's like, I don't know how to feel because, you know, we have a lot of straights in the audience. And I just want to know, it's still not for you. But in this movie, I guess in its hold up a factory, It's sort of like when, like, young kids watch South Park and suddenly they're saying the most awful shit imaginable because they don't understand that, like, Cartman is evil.
Yeah, I also just... And everything that came out of Jonah Hill's mouth was, like, most of it was problematic, so...
Damn, this is shaping up to be my worst movie of the...
Oh, no.
Of the season. And it's still going to be better than all of Holland's and all but one of Allegra's. Oh. So, any bonus points?
I'm problematic.
I'm just going to give a bonus point for Michael Cera because I love him and he was perfect in this movie.
And I will give a bonus point to Bill Hader because I love him.
Oh, I love him so much. Okay, so that rounds out April Fool's scores. It ended with the two bonus points, it's at a 75, which honestly,
I think that's fair. Fine. Yeah.
I think that's fine. I'm curious to see how Without a Paddle would have played.
I know. I don't know.
I think honestly, it would have been worse. Similar
to worse. Yeah.
I think it would have been worse. Okay. So let's do a little, just a check in on the scores.
What? Oh yeah. So a 75.
I am in the lead with 251. Allegra is in second place with 182. And Holland rounds out.
I think she has 183 because she got a bonus point for Paul Blart. I don't know if that is included.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it wasn't. Okay. So 183.
And then Holland
is in last. You know, close but catching up with 118.
So I need Allegra to get like a 10 on the next movie and me to get like an 80.
So like the worst movie
or like a 30 or a 100 or like a 20.
Wait, when does the season end? How many more months do we have?
We have one more month. So I am probably losing.
Oh damn. Yeah, you're probably losing.
Do you want to tell us some trivia about Superbad first before we talk about our theme for next month?
The budget of this movie was between $17.5 million and $20 million.
Okay.
And the box office was $170.8 million. Yeah. So definitely a return.
I believe it.
The writers Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg started this script when they were 13 years old because they, quote, just wanted to see if we could write a movie. Michael Cera's mother actually read the script before he did, and she was the one who convinced him to try out for the part.
Oh, wow.
During the filming, Christopher Mintz-Plasse was 17, Michael Cera was 18, and Jonah Hill was the oldest at 23.
Oh, wow.
And Christopher Mintz-Plasse's mom had to be on set for the entire movie.
Oh. I didn't realize how much older Jonah Hill was.
How old is Jonah?
23.
He was 23. 18.
It's kind of funny that his sister does like the girl version in Booksmart like a decade later.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, which movie?
Booksmart.
Wait, which girl?
Beanie Feldstein.
I don't know this.
Beanie Feldstein. Booksmart. The movie Booksmart.
Have you seen Booksmart, Greg?
It was directed by Olivia Wilde. It's pretty good.
Wait, this is Jonah Hill's sister?
Yeah.
Which one? Beanie Feldstein.
She also had a small part in Lady Bird. She was in Funny Girl last year. She was.
Oh,
in...
yeah, no, she's from. I know her face.
She was in that.
I didn't know she was.
Monica Lewinsky, American Crime Story season.
Oh, I did not know that.
She was Monica Lewinsky in that.
I didn't watch that one.
I never finished it.
I didn't know she was Jonah Hill's sister.
Yeah.
They look alike, so it makes sense.
She's way younger.
Bill Hader stated that he was offered many roles as a cop after this film due to the popularity of his character.
That's funny.
Was he on SNL during this?
I think so.
Okay, I couldn't remember like when he started.
Jennifer Lawrence was considered for the role of Jules.
I can see that.
2005 or 2013.
When Dave Franco first appeared on set, nobody knew he was James Franco's brother. And there was a quote, I think, from either Seth Rogen or maybe it was like Jonah Hill. And he's like, we were just staring at him like, what's wrong with this guy? Because they're probably just like, who does he look like?
Yeah.
So the dick drawing scene required enormous legal complications getting it to screen. Every single drawing had to be approved individually by the studio's legal department. And they would get notes back saying, like, too big, too veiny. The shot of the little girl holding the drawing is actually the hands of a tiny adult woman.
Okay.
It's one guy
who
doing
was
all
drawing
the
it.
It's one guy at the end of the credits. They
it
credit
was
the one
Evan
guy.
Goldberg's brother.
Okay,
that's amazing.
Because wait, am I wrong? I mean, I don't want to step on your trivia, but isn't that like scenario based on like a real person that they know?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not in my trivia, but
I
think you're right.
Who it's based on, though.
The last little bit that I'll say is just, I always like to do a little review, like official reviews from when this movie came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times had the headline of his review read, McLovin' It, and gave the film 3.5 out of 4 stars
okay.
and said, quote, "The movie reminded me a little of National Lampoon's Animal House, except that it's more mature, as all movies are."
Burn on Animal House.
Amazing.
I don't know if that's necessarily a burn. It's just like, let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So that rounds out April Fools. And now we are heading into our final month, the month of May. And let's talk a little bit about the theme here. Are we thinking May Day?
It's gonna be May. Movies with songs.
So, movies with original songs.
There we go.
Movies with at least
it's
one
gonna be May.
It's gonna be May. So yeah, I said at least one original song. That way it doesn't have to be all musicals.
Yeah.
It could be like, I guess I won't say anything in case people want to put it through their lists. But
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm in. I'm on board for that.
Well, what's something we've already watched that would fit into the category?
Like that's like not like a straight like Disney. Like I'm like obviously like the Goofy movie, like
that's a musical.
That's like one end of the spectrum. Another end of the like School of Rock.
School of Rock.
School of Rock
has
would,
at least
could.
One original song.
Yeah.
Willy Wonka.
Yep. Yeah.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Sure.
Woman.
Yeah.
Whoa. Is that a song? Or slam
Wait, you tell me. In Princess Diaries, is Stupid Cupid an original song?
Stupid Cupid, stop picking on me.
Google that. Google if that's
I don't
an
know.
Song.
But it, like, does that... it have to be original?
Or
just a
music
sequence.
Or just a
musical like, are
performance.
We there yet? Respect.
Ooh. Yeah.
Is that...
Like, would that count?
All right. At least one performed
song.
It doesn't have to be original. Because, like... Done Things I Hate About You. It's not an original song, but I would
but
know.
That's true.
Iconic moment.
And Letters for Cleo is all over that movie performance
Speaking
songs.
Of Letters for
I
Cleo.
I know. I know. Don't spoil picks. But I think you know what one
I
of
like,
my picks is going to be.
I like how you were upset you did not choose that one, and it did not matter.
Well, who knows?
Take two.
But yeah. So I think I like that because you can be a little more, it doesn't have to be a straight up, like, The Sound of Music. Or
yeah, it
whatever.
Doesn't need to be a straight up musical.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna, like, I think I might have a harder time figuring out stinkers. Maybe?
I think we'll find out. I think our research will take us on wondrous paths. I mean, I'm really excited to find out what Google thinks
is a musical. Or a musical movie.
Oh, Freaky Friday totally would have counted.
Oh, that's true. Freaky Friday.
Oh, Freaky Friday would have been great.
You're the ultimate.
So that pretty much is it. We are going to be drafting. Our next episode is going to be the draft of It's Gonna Be May. Musical or musical performance movies. Holland, you know the tune in again bullshit.
Oh, yeah. please follow us on Instagram at LatchkeySibs. You can also email us at LatchkeySibs@gmail.com. Oh, shout out to Caitlin, who sent us some nice long emails. I'm not going to read the whole things here, but thank you for sending those.
Any highlights?
She also agrees that 27 Dresses was a staple in the rom-com canon. She agrees it's not amazing, but, like, it was a significant movie. That's one thing that I remember.
She agrees that it's iconic.
Hang on. Let me see.
Because that was the debate.
Okay. I am watching 27 Dresses right now, and I'm so aggressively with Holland that this was a fucking apex rom-com.
Apex.
I had no idea how fucking bad that is. I had no idea how fucking bad it is. So, two things can be true at the same time.
No. Because when I think of, like, apex rom-com, it's, like, The Notebook. It is Dirty
that
Dancing.
That's not a comedy.
Well, I guess, I mean, you're right. Where's the com?
Anyway, so, if you want to also inspire more debate on the show, you can email us at latchkeysibs@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram. Please make sure to vote on our scores, which are posted to our stories, usually every Friday. Sometimes I'm a little late, so just tune in on our stories.
Just always follow us. Constantly look at us.
Always check in on us, you know?
Watch Grace Reels.
If you want to follow us IRL, my address is actually 478. No, okay.
But yeah, and next week we will be drafting for It's Gonna Be May. Or maybe next week. I don't know. Next episode is when that's going to happen. So until then, goodbye.
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 These eyes are crying. These eyes have seen a lot of love, but they're never going to see another one.